All right, welcome, Buddy Book Club. I'm Dylan, here with my one body problem, Keith. What's up, buddy?
Hello, Comrade Dylan.
Here at the Buddy Book Club, we're bringing out some bestsellers, and this week we'll be discussing The Three Body Problem by Lucien.
I looked it up. I think it's Liu.
Liu.
Sertian.
Sertian?
I wrote it down as Sertian.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's right or not.
Okay, cool. Hey, we're trying. Honestly, we're trying.
Yeah.
And characters' names are not going to be our thing in this one.
No.
If you'd like to recommend a book for us to read or reach out to us about any past episodes, you can visit our website, buddybookclub.com, or slide into our DMs on Twitter or Instagram, Buddy Book Club Podcast. You can listen to us on iTunes and Spotify, so please download and subscribe. The Three Body Problem, 4.09 on Goodreads, and a Hugo Award winner. We love Hugo Award winners. I look at the Hugo Award, and I think I've said this on previous pods, as like the special effects Oscar. If you look back at all the special effects Oscars, they're all just great movies. It's better than Best Picture. If you're wondering, hey, what movie should I watch? Go to the special effects and check those out, especially if you like sci-fi. Either way, we're not here to discuss that. We're here to discuss The Three-Body Problem. Keith, I did provide a book report for you if you'd like me to jump into that.
Oh, yes, please. I want to know what this book is about.
Oh, I'm not sure this will help, but thank you. Thank you. Standing up in front of the class. The Three-Body Problem is a science fiction novel that puts the focus on science. Like the Monster Book of Monsters in Harry Potter, this book should also have a secret way of opening it to see if you're worthy of reading it. In this case, you need to solve whatever equation Matt Damon solved in Good Will Hunting to be authorized to continue onward. Alas, there was no test, I was not barred from entry, and was allowed to ride on the twisting and turning roads that is the three-body problem. What did I glean from my journey? I learned that it's not just Activision that can invest heavily into a video game but still make it boring. I learned that although you may lose faith in humanity, inviting some unknown species to come conquer your world is probably not the best course of action. And I learned that when you write yourself into a corner by presenting unbelievable and inexplainable things into your story, just invent something even more unbelievable and inexplainable, but then spend 20 pages explaining it so that readers are confused and just want to move on from the whole thing. I hope you're reading this, Damon Lindelof. That's the guy who created Lost. In closing, cults are bad, even alien cults. Thank you.
Wow, that was very, very well done. The first half, I was like, I don't know if he's got it. And the second half, you kind of really brought it home. I'm going to give that an A-.
Oh, really?
I think that was very, very good.
Wow. You didn't like the first half, the Monster Book of Monsters? You know, I need to tickle the spine so that it would let you in?
I don't know what spines you've been tickling these days, but okay.
When Hagrid introduced the book to care of magical creatures, and it would bite you unless you tickled its spine? Whatever. Anywho.
You're talking about some Hagrid what? That you've tickled their spine and what happened? Sorry. Anyways, all right.
Do you feel like you at this point have a good grasp of what happened in the book? Do we need a quick exposition?
I just read the whole wiki page.
So you probably feel pretty good about it now.
A little bit better, yeah.
Yeah. I also read the wiki page today.
And that was hard to read, too.
It was.
That was a long read. I was like, this all happened?
Without further ado, let's jump into some stock up, stock down. Keith, stock up. What do you got?
Stock up drinking alcohol.
Go, hey.
Maybe throw a smoking a cigar in there as well as a stock up. But if this book taught us anything, really, it's just that you're having problems in life, you just hit the bottle. That's really what you got to do. You got to get out of your own head sometimes. You just go out drinking with some random cop. That's the keys. If you're at a dead-end job, have a night out. You think you're a worthless podcaster, throw a couple of grandpa's old cough medicines back. You're seeing time counting down in your eyes and photos. Get lubed up, you know? Just fucking go out there and have a good time, and it'll all resolve itself, which is basically what we found out in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had points I was drinking in this book, so I was very confused, and that would at least help me there.
I think that this is one of the few books that didn't translate well to audiobook. I think, one, because of the names, mostly because when you're reading a name, you at least identify that name, and so then you can identify with that character. When someone's saying it to you, it's much harder to then remember, wait, who is that person?
Exactly what I said for Shogun, and you gave me shit for that, but okay.
Well, yeah, Shogun was different. Shogun doesn't count.
Yeah, all right.
But yeah, for this one, the names hurt me a little bit. I found it tough to follow. I was like, wait, exactly who is this person? So I needed a couple drinks myself. My first stock up is using video games as a recruitment tool.
Oh, nice.
The ETO, which is the Earth Trisolaris Organization, they created the Three Body Game to recruit new members to their cause, and it's a pretty ingenious idea by them. You pretty much can flesh out the people that you don't want in, just like right off the bat, most people, you or I, would start that game and be like, nope, not interested. But some crazy physicist would start it and be like, oh, this could be interesting. What's going on? But we could take this further into our world. I mean, we got Call of Duty. Just do that for your next soldiers. You know, maybe tweak the game a little bit to make it more realistic. I'm sure there are more realistic games. And I don't mean realistic in that you're like murdering people. But hey, maybe you need the taste of blood to get going. I don't know. But flight simulators for the next drone pilots, that seems like a no-brainer. What I understand, they've adapted those controls to be like an Xbox controller or even some other stuff that military personnel use on the ground, like the bomb robots and stuff like that have video game type controllers because people are used to video games. But I feel like you could just do this with a lot of different things.
America's Army. That's a game that's made by the Army.
Oh, really?
Released in like 2009. It was like first-person shooter, I think.
I mean, they already have like flight simulators where a pilot. My stepfather's a pilot, and when he has to train, he just goes in the simulator, which is just a super legit video game, realistically. So why not do the same thing for bomb disposal guys? And especially if you have these like haptic suits, you're really feeling everything. I'm sure the stress would be real if you're in one of those haptic suits, especially if you could then say that you're doing the bomb detonation stuff, like, you know, have some sort of pain or something to be like, oh shit, bomb exploded. So yeah, using video games as a recruitment tool, good job by ETO here.
Yeah, and I also had playing video games as a stock up, but I think you're missing one key element. The key, it's similar to alcohol, is if you're having a tough time, don't actually solve the problems, don't do anything around that. Just jump into a video games and drinking, which, you know, I've partaken in both. But the funny thing was when we get introduced to Wang's family and his wife, and I think he has like one or two kids, and we get introduced to them for maybe 2 minutes, and all we hear is his wife being like, I feel really worried about you, and she's like crying, and he leaves. That's the last time we see her. He's, for the rest of the book, he's playing video games, meeting up with terrorist organizations, he's drinking, and he's going to Panama. I don't think we ever hear from her again. She's probably like, what the fuck's this guy doing?
Dodo doesn't have his dad anymore. Dodo's like, where's my dad? Where did
my dad go? So the other thing I was thinking about, too, is that video games is a recruitment tool. It was almost a stock down. It's the opposite of yours. But have you seen the people that are playing video games these days? People streaming, teabagging.
Teabagging? Oh, like when you used to do that on Halo, like you squat on someone's face? Yeah.
So you know. So you're the person I'm talking about.
No, I just remember that was a thing. People get really upset about that stuff. I never let any of that stuff affect me. It's funny.
No, it's funny.
People like our buddy Magic get really upset in video games. I love that stuff. It makes me happy. It's like, if you're not having fun, like, what are we doing here?
The boring video game that you reference in the book thing, where was it? Like, there were a couple of GTA cars in the desert, so we can, or buggies, so we can drive around. The worst, walking for like simulated like 50 hours. Like, what?
Yeah.
What kind of game is this? Yeah, this is fucking terrible.
It's so boring. Who would continue playing that game?
No, terrible. No one.
Yeah. I guess that's why it's a good recruitment tool. I had science fiction as opposed to just regular old fiction. I feel like we read a decent amount of science fiction. I'm a big sci-fi guy in general. I didn't really know there was like subgenres. There usually is with fantasy. You got high fantasy and you got sword and sandal and we got dark fantasy, all different things like that. This is something that is like hard science fiction, emphasis on hard science, because it's rooted in actual scientific things that happen, real physics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The book is called Three Body Problem, which is an orbital mechanical problem that is supposedly unsolvable. How to basically predict the orbits of three bodies that are connected to one another, whatever the case is, like we had to deal with in the entire video game, which took up half the book. We got nanotechnology in this. We got quantum mechanics, quantum entanglement, multi-dimensional planes. In a previous pod and a movie that we both love, I think, Interstellar, we talked about the fourth dimension. We're talking about 11 dimensions here. I had a hard enough time even trying to conceptualize four dimensions. And obviously, you can't even conceptualize it, but just trying to understand some sort of words around it, that the guy just throws out 11 dimensions, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't know, sure, like whatever that is. A lot of science, and I don't necessarily dislike that. I like the idea of a science fiction book that is science-based. I mean, The Martian is an example of that, and the other Andy Weir book we read, not the terrible one.
Yeah, I compared this to Foundation meets Project Hail Mary, so two books.
Yeah, Project Hail Mary. Yeah, exactly. And Foundation is a good example, although that's obviously more out there. You know, that's not actual science.
This one's kind of out there too.
Yeah, but I meant like that's like psychology science, like the science and psychology kind of thing. Either way, I do like the idea, and that's why it's a stock up for me, of a science forward science fiction. But I'm a little bit more used to the Andy Weir type stuff than this, which was a bit over my head.
For me, I realized after reading this book, I don't actually like science fiction books. I like fiction books that have science in them.
Oh, like Ender's Game.
Yeah, exactly. I like when the lightsaber gets pulled out and it goes, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then they start hitting it. I don't want them to be like, so the lightsaber's origins actually come from the mountain of Jedi. You know, it's just like, I don't care. And it's like, this is how the physics work. I'm like, I don't give any shit about any of that. I'm all for thinking outside the box, but once you start making things up to make things up to make things up for, none of this is real science, but you're talking about it like this is how it would work if it were real science. It's like, but that's none of that's real. You're just making all these things up on top of things.
Yeah, well, I think for this, a lot of it is real science, except for once we get a little too deep into the like SOFON type stuff. And that's more
the sofa stuff.
SOFON stuff. Yeah, that's more like theoretical.
I'm thinking of sofas. The idea of photosynthesis is sciencey to me, right? I'm just like, I don't understand it. I get that it's important, but it doesn't, it's over my head. Like, yeah. Even that, right? And then they're like, you know, photosynthesis, now let's show you something that's 7 degrees further from that and describe it in detail. I'm like, I didn't like photosynthesis. Why would I like this shit? Yeah. You know what I mean? So that's where it's
funny you say that, because I have plant growth related, photosynthesis related, quote unquote joke later. It's not really a joke, but
you know, I love those jokes, those photosynthesis jokes.
But I agree with you. Like when I watch Star Wars, I don't need to know the background, but I am interested in that. So I used to always love those compendiary books you'd see in the library or the bookstore that explained how a lightsaber worked, because that would be fun to read. But I don't want to watch a movie and have them explain to me how it works. They say, oh yeah, this crystal powers it. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then later I'll get this book and I'll be like, oh, this is interesting. I can look into it more. I want to hear the story. I don't need so much.
You need to be invested first before. Yeah. It'd be like, oh, let's like go watch baseball. And you'd first being like, well, let me describe to you why OPS is important. And just talking about OPS for like an hour.
Sure.
You're like,
yeah.
I don't give a That's shit a really about this. Good like, show me a baseball game.
That's a yeah. really good example. Yeah. I think that the movie we just talked about, Interstellar, did such a good job of that, because it has the sciencey aspects that you can pretty much follow around. Oh, time dilation. I understand like time moves faster down there than it does up here, whatever the case is. They didn't go on for hours about exactly how the science of black holes work. It was like just enough that I was like, okay, I can follow the story. And then later on, I go on this science channel and there's the science behind Interstellar. And I'm like, yes, I will sit here for an hour and 30 minutes and watch this. Be very happy that now I know a little bit more about the science of it. This one towed the line in the other way, I think. My last stock up was Krypton, or Kryptonians, perhaps. Maybe specifically Jor-El. But the planet Krypton was having a similar epic end as Tri-Solaris. Granted, Krypton was destroyed due to overmining. You know, the Kryptonians were just kept mining all that stuff. It, you know, that's semantics. It wasn't a three-body issue. Either way, what did Jor-El do? He sent his only son in a space pod to Earth. Who did that son become? Superman. What did Superman do? Save the Earth countless times. What are the Trisolarians going to do? Destroy Earth. So Krypton stock up, Trisolaris stock down.
Mm, great point. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I honestly didn't know the history of Superman, so I appreciate that.
You didn't know the history of America's number one alien?
I like Lois and Clark. After that, I was out on Superman.
Big fan of Lois and Clark. What's that woman's name? Terry something?
Terry Hatcher?
Terry Hatcher? Yeah. I had a huge crush on her before I even knew what crushes were. Like,
Who didn't?
Yeah, I came for the Superman and I stayed for Terry Hatcher.
Did you also have, because your family didn't watch TV, right? Yeah. Did you have the Sunday night exception? And that was the one show that we're allowed to watch Sunday nights. And so obviously it was the greatest television. It could have been any show, honestly, and I would have loved it.
From what I remember, weekends were kind of an exception. So like Saturday morning cartoons, I was all in on. Like I crushed all the Saturday morning cartoons. And I think Sundays were on board too. So, I mean, I know I remember watching it. Like, I don't know why I was watching it, but it's so weird to think too that you had one TV in a house. Like, everyone had to agree on what to watch.
That's why I think like NCIS's work. It's a little bit of murder and it's a little bit of a love story and it's like a little bit of everything, but nothing too aggressive. It all like wraps up by the end and everyone's happy.
That's my Blue Bloods theory. That's why Blue Bloods is still on, because it's a cop show, but it's really a family show, but there's a backbone of Jesus. So it really hits all the marks. Let's jump into Stock Down. What do you have for Stock
Down? Simplifying things, Stock Down. I think we're all on the same wavelength here, but this book was relatively short, I guess, in length, but this book felt very, very, very long for me. We took 2 weeks to read this. A 12-hour book, yeah. It should take us 1 week.
We normally crush 12-hour books.
Yeah, 12 hours is right on our wheelhouse.
Like The Blade itself, I think we both read in a week. And you didn't even love, and you didn't even love that book. You liked it.
Exactly. It wasn't like the greatest book ever. Yeah. But I mean, and that wasn't, I wouldn't say like the biggest page turner, but it was the pages turned. This was like what's the opposite of a page turner? A page freezer?
Page burner? I don't know.
No, that's good. That'd be burning book through the book.
I meant like burn the page because you don't want to read it anymore.
I needed Basil exposition in this. I need someone to dumb it down for me. I just needed things simplified. This book did not simplify it. But even like the small things I got annoyed with, like there was an instance where Wang is in the meeting room with all the military people, mm-hmm. and they're like describing what to do to take this boat down.
Yeah.
And they're like going through this long list of things. I'm like, all right, this is kind of cool. I mean, realistically, the answer at the end, which would turn this book completely around, is like, there's only one person that can go in here secretly and silently and get the job. Yeah. We were about the same thing. Like, that's what the answer was. Yeah. This book would have turned around in a flash if that happened. No, but they're like, is there any innocent survivors going to be on the boat? And the answer is just no. That's it.
Yeah.
You're trying to save the world here. No. Yeah. Instead, they're like, yeah, there's going to be like 4 or 5 people there. We'll do this. I'm like, why are we adding in complications? Knowing the shit out of me.
I also love how when they're going through the different things that they're going to do, they're like, all right, so should we drop a thermonuclear warhead on it? It's like, come on, guys. Like, that's
yeah, that's where we start.
That's crumpled up in a trash can. Like, don't even bring that to the table. Whoever started that idea, like, you're out the door. You know that we need the information that's on this. So why are we starting with this? Someone else is like, oh, well, we can have some commandos go and blow it up. It's like, no, what? Has no one listening? Is no one listening to what the operation is?
Different variations of blowing it up. Yeah. They're like, well, how about a nuclear bomb? How about a flamethrower? How about, it's like, what are we doing?
The idea of like some nano wire that just like cuts through stuff is a pretty cool idea, though, I will say.
That was cool. They were like, and then it won't cut the computer at all. I'm like, how? They're like, yeah, don't worry about that. It's fine. The computer will be fine. It won't matter that we'll run literally a blade through the like processes and everything. That'll be recoverable.
They're like, oh, you can just stitch it back together if it's that thin of a wire. My first stock down, and I think you had video games as a stock up, but it's a stock down for me, and it's because of the three-body problem. If I went to the store when I was a wee lad and used to go to the store to rent video games, like that's really what I did on the weekends, is my mom would take me to the movie store and I would get to rent a video game.
Wow.
64. Oh my God. It was the greatest times. And every now and then though, you'd have a miss and it would just ruin your weekend. Even the Rampage game, like the Rampage 64, when you're just like destroying cities, it's like fun for 2 minutes. And then you're like, all right, this is actually terrible.
Yeah, there was no like IGN where you could look up the reviews of the
game. Oh yeah, you're just looking at the cover of the game and you look at the back and like maybe you played it at a friend's house, maybe not. Maybe you watched someone play it at like Toys R Us in one of those machines. And you know, you'd bring it home and it'd ruin your weekend because it'd be like, dang, I was so excited to play this and here we are. And that's how I'd feel. Like someone would be like, oh, this three-body problem game is great. And it'd be someone that's really smart. They want to pretend they like it. Just so that they feel smart, and you get it home and you're like, oh my God, what am I doing here? I have no idea what's happening.
You're playing Myst?
I was thinking, that's exactly what I was thinking of. That's exactly what I was thinking of. My dad got me like, you know, my desktop computer when I was a kid. My dad took me to Comp USA and it had the coolest cover. It was just, you know, some guy on a mountain with Myst all around him. I was like, oh, this is going to be super cool. I didn't know what to do. I just walked around and you couldn't even do anything. So you're just kind of walking around one enclosed space. I was like, what is happening here?
There's
like
a lot of click in points and zoom in on this. Oh, it's a clock that shows 313. And then it's like, okay, now I have to go and change the combination on this like lock. Basically, it was original Escape the Room.
Yeah, it was Escape Room. Wow, we are synchronizing. We are quantumly entangled right now. Because, that's what I was thinking.
Sofas.
It was Escape Room, but I was not, I was like 7. It's like, this is not.
Yeah, I was wondering how old I was when I did that, and I was just like clicking around being like, what am I doing?
I was like, I want to play Duke Nukem. Like, that's what I want to do. So, the video games, Three Body Problem, not a good video game. I cannot believe they put this much into it. Not a good job by them. Did you have any other stock downs?
Last one, Dying on an Anthill, stock down. I mean, obviously, this should be a stock down, but...
Wait, hold on a second. Dying on an Anthill, is that just like the same thing as dying on a hill? I've never heard of it like dying on an anthill.
What's the saying? I don't know. I think it's a saying. This is not the hill you want to die on.
Yeah, I didn't know it was like an anthill, but I'm down for that. Is that the idiom?
I thought maybe I'm just making that up. It's not worth. It's like a tiny hill. It's not even a hill that's worth fighting for.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
This isn't the anthill I want to die on, or this is. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, Yeyuan Sia, she gets set up for reading Rachel Carson essentially and writing some stuff she didn't actually do. But they come to her prison. She's like freezing. She is like no, like barely a blanket. It's like the worst situation ever. And they're like, "Hey, sign this doc, get out of prison, easy peasy, right?" I'm just like, yeah, I'm signing that 1,000% of the time. It's going to affect no one. You know, if her dad was still alive and it was like going to condemn him, I get it. You're not going to sign that. I'll fucking take one for the team here. But he's already dead. Who cares? None of this shit matters. She refuses to sign, which I'm like, okay, she's just giving up on life. That's fine, you know? But then this is the same person that has the hatred or revenge in her heart like 10 years later to condemn the whole world, to kill every single person in the world. So if you have that logic of like, fuck everyone, I'm going to get my revenge. So why would you not sign that doc? That's what I didn't understand. That. Like that, at the time, I was like, this is not the anthill, the hill you die on. You'd find the next hill to die on. This is not worth fighting for. You can get your revenge later.
I have a vague memory of what exactly was on the document. Was it other people, like other of her dad's scholar friends, you know, his peers, that she would then have to say were, whatever the word is for like intellectuals, like anti... communists or whatever the case is, or was it her dad like basically saying, yes, my dad was an anti-communist and like he's a loser, you know, which then
that's what I thought it was.
But yeah, I mean, she didn't want to besmirch her dad's name.
But apparently like everyone had signed it already, so the fact that she signed it didn't really have any, didn't change anything.
It mattered to her, you know. She felt like she was the one that had stuck by him, you know, in her heart, and by not doing that, she'd be turning on him in her heart, even though he's dead. It doesn't matter.
I need some John Wick shit. And then she meets with like the three people that ended up killing her dad, and she's like, oh, I do feel bad for these people. Like, no, they were like giving their sob story. Like, I don't give a shit. She met with these three people that killed her dad. And they're talking about how terrible their life has been since then. Like, would you have the same sympathy for, I don't know, any people that are like in a terrible army, like the Nazis? Would you have the same sympathy for them if you've met three of Nazis later? Like, yeah, you should have seen Germany after. It was really tough for me. It's like, who gives a fuck? You're on the bad side. Killed my dad. I don't care about what happened to you after that.
Yeah, I mean,
that annoyed me.
I totally understand where you're coming from, and I think that's a very fair take. Although the Cultural Revolution in China, I don't know much about at all. I enjoy that was part of this book, and I don't know what it would be like to be that person, you know, and also this, just the like the brainwashing element of, and like just the general upheaval of the people getting kind of caught in that.
If you agree with that, then just say, listen, I got brainwashed. I was an idiot. I was a kid. I shouldn't have done that. I feel really, really bad for everything I did. Instead, they come and just complain for 30 minutes about their problems. Like,
yeah.
No. Yeah. Now you get killed. Now I'm fucking knocking you out.
They're like, what do you want me to repent? And she's like, yeah, you know, don't you want to? And they're pretty much like, who's gonna repent for the stuff that I suffered, you know?
Yeah, at I don't give a shit what you suffered through.
Yeah, it's like those are two different things. Like, let's, you know, I don't know who's gonna do that, but like, you can apologize for killing my dad. Like, that seems pretty easy. You beat him to death with a belt.
But I also had a tough time one time.
Yeah, they gave her the yeah, but still, and it wouldn't work for me. I agree with you.
No,
you know, if someone's like, yeah, but still, like, I lost my arm. It's like, okay, not my fault. A tank ran over your arm.
that was like 20 years later.
Literally nothing to do with me. You killed my dad with a belt. Your hands. So,
and then they pinned it on the person that, and they're like, yeah, that person that actually killed your dad. She died in the river. It wasn't us three.
Those girls were smart. So that kind of leads to my next and final stock down, which is isms. Personally, I'm not a big fan of communism, totalitarianism, capitalism, feudalism. really any ism I can't get behind. People that are staunch supporters of one type of ism, those are people that concern me, because it's proven out so far that there really isn't something that works. You know, people are like, oh, America's great. It's like, yeah, but I saw an interesting thing. I follow this Lord of the Rings Instagram page. And
wasn't ready for that. Go on.
And they had someone went and calculated how much money Smaug had in his hoard under the mountain. And basically, Smaug's hoard would make him the 16th richest American. Like, all that gold and everything.
How did
they calculate that? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't care. I don't care how they did it. Right. I'm just going to believe it. But it was fun. It was like, holy smokes. Talk about who is the duck from Duck, Scrooge McDuck or whatever. That just is
DuckTales?
Swim in his money and DuckTales.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's like, that's what it's like. So people think capitalism is right. Like, this is stupid too. All these people with all this money. It's crazy. So yeah, just... We get a peek into the Chinese Cultural Revolution. You know, prosecuting intellectuals and scientists doesn't seem like a great way to move forward as a species. Hoarding all of the money doesn't seem like a great way to move forward as a species. So I do understand the idea of shouting out to aliens that they should come and conquer us to even the playing field to some degree, or like move us forward. The problem is, you don't know what these aliens are about. You're just saying, come here.
I also think there's very, very low stakes. If you were told today, hey, 450 years from now, the Earth's going to implode and die, would your life change in any way? Would you do anything differently? 450 years, that's not even your kids or their kids' generation. It, like, it doesn't even matter. Would you do anything differently?
You're saying this is going to be just for me, because I think the world would change.
What do you think? I don't even know if the world would change.
Well, I think climate change wouldn't matter anymore. If you're saying that there's an asteroid that's 450 miles away, there's nothing we can do.
You know, like basically there's like all these restrictions on hunting, all these restrictions on fishing.
Yeah.
So you're just saying we'd just be exploitative to the max.
Yeah. I think that'd be actually an interesting story, or like a TV show or something, where that happens and we just deplete the Earth over the next 200 years or so, but then it misses us or something like that. And it's like, oh shit, what do we do now?
That is a good idea.
It's a little post-apocalyptic thing, even though like we've created this apocalypse because we thought the world was going to end, but it was like, psych. Me personally, no, I don't think my life would change. Although I'm sure it would have some sort of psychological impact and I would think about things different. You know, I compost now. I probably wouldn't compost anymore. I'd say it doesn't fucking matter. You know, what's the big deal? Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to say, but yeah, the stakes are definitely low, but the stakes weren't low for the ETO or whatnot. You know, they had plans to keep going. Their children were going to take over, or their children were going to meet them. And then even the ETO, it's interesting how these organizations always work, because then they start to fracture and there's factions. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense to me. That's like a really interesting perspective, because then there's, you know, these different factions are created. One that looks at the aliens as like gods, like, oh, okay, these aliens are, you know, they're godlike creatures. They're going to do some godlike shit when they get here. Another one that's like, cool, aliens are going to kill everyone else, but we're going to be the survivors and like, we'll be what's left of the human race. And I can't remember what the third... The Adventists.
The third one was just, oh, we want everyone dead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were just like, yeah, we don't care about humanity anymore. The Earth doesn't deserve humans, so let's have some new species take over. Which is just, they're all pretty wild and hot takes.
That American kid sucked, too, so didn't care for him.
Who, Mike Evans?
Yeah, he was the leader of that group.
Yeah, great, scores a lot of touchdowns on that guy.
Yeah. It is weird that he went from, scoring that many touchdowns, just going off to the woods.
Yeah, the birds. It was an interesting, yeah, he obviously had his screw loose too. I appreciate someone that's going to try to save some birds, but just planting a bunch of trees that at the same time there's an entire government that's tearing them down.
Maybe that's why he loses to the Falcons all the time. All right, we'll be here all week. Okay.
He's on the Bucks.
He plays the Falcons all the
time. Oh, plays the Falcons. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why they lose there. He doesn't want to hurt them. Doesn't want to injure the Falcons. Nice. Yeah.
He was an interesting character. All the characters, not really fleshed out. What is your, did you have a favorite scene? It wasn't really a scene kind of book.
I don't think do you have one.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. What about a character?
I liked the
I think we're gonna say the same person, but go on.
No, I don't think so. The person that Wang sees playing the three body problem game.
The woman?
And they're just, yeah, she's given one word answers. Yeah. Just stop. I liked her. I don't know what her deal was. And then she just gets into a gun shootout, which we don't see, but yeah. I liked that also.
I was so confused. I thought she was Yao Wenxia's daughter, but...
Do we ever find out what happened to her daughter? I didn't
know. No, and that was the other thing, too. Her daughter was murdered or killed or something, and we don't know why. At least I don't think so. And then it's because at some point she's like, oh, I killed two people. I'm like, oh, she killed her own daughter? But it wasn't her daughter. It was her husband and another guy. But at the same time, I was like, wait, did we ever get to the bottom of how your daughter died? Or this for a sequel or something like that? Because people have been asking.
She's in the middle of a sentence, and then like they broke in. And we're like, everyone's hands up. And I'm like, so they're going to finish that story? And I thought it might have happened when it was in the middle of talking about sofas for 45 minutes. But I don't know.
Yeah, so... I guess the woman was just like another physicist that was also just into the three body game. Don't know exactly, but I did appreciate that. Yeah, she'd be on the phone, just like wouldn't say anything. Like she'd pick up the phone and just silence. It's like when you pick up the phone for a telemarketer, it's just like, hmm. So my favorite character was Shi Kang, the cop. I liked him the most. I mean, he'd been like kicked out of like 8 different police organizations, but now he's working for this clandestine organization. I just like the cut of his jib. At one point, you know, we don't have potent quotables on anymore, but at one point he says, "I'm a simple man. Look down my throat and you can see out my ass." I am hoping that was not poorly translated and that's exactly how it is in Chinese, because it's a great line. And I almost want to use it all the time if someone's like trying to make it seem like things are more complicated. I'm, like, I'm a simple man. Look down my throat and you can see out my ass. It's like, huh? What? What? But I loved it. I actually had to pause it and like rewind and be like, is that exactly what I – did he just say what I think he said? When they have the shootout at the end, which was also just a little weird. It was like the cops – jumping into a NAMBLA convention in South Park. It was just like, wait, what? The cops are just all of a sudden shooting people and there's a nuclear bomb and he's like,
yeah, that
just shoot it. And he's like that good of a shot that he just can just.
And then they're like, there's radiation everywhere and it blew up. And I'm like, so everyone's dead? There's a nuclear bomb went off? And they're like, no. And I'm, what?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like, no, they scrubbed me inside and out. I got no radiation anymore. He's like, I don't know. I saw that Chernobyl miniseries. I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. But yeah, I liked him in general. I liked his vibe.
I do like too at the end of the book where all the military minds are meeting and they're like, who the fuck's this guy? And he's like, I'm the guy who does my fucking job. You must be the other guy. Like Marky yeah, Wahlberg in Departed. That's what he basically said to him.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh, fuck, The Departed is such a good movie. I might have to rewatch that. It's your favorite movie all time? Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because the first time I watched it, I didn't like it. I was like, yeah, this movie's okay. And then I saw it again. I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen. I just kept on watching it over and over.
I had a similar thing. I think I watched it the first time. I was like, not Scorsese's best. And then I watched it again and I was like, wow, this is like equally entertaining, funny, and awesome. Okay, what do we love? What do we love about the three-body problem, Keith?
I think the general idea is cool. I think, first of all, I didn't know the three-body thing was a real quantum mechanics or whatever you said it was.
Orbital mechanics, yeah.
I was like, I wonder what the three-body problem is the whole time. I was like, at the end, I was like, I don't know what that is still. I'm interested in the TV show. I heard the TV show is good, but I also heard the book's good. So, but I'm going to watch the TV show. I think this kind of book lends itself well to a TV show because all of the scientific stuff is backed by it, and now they just have to make a better story, which this didn't have, which might have been more of a hate, but still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I was actually gonna think about putting a stock up for my perceived intellect as a stock up because like two people had said, oh, you should read Three Body Problem, it's great, and I'm an idiot, I didn't understand anything, so they must think I'm a lot smarter than I am, so that's nice. Either that or it's one of those things kind of what I talked about earlier, the video game stuff or whatever, when someone suggests it to you to show how smart they are.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That's like why I bring up Rise and Fall of the Third Reich all the time, because it's a 55-hour long history book. So it's like,
and I bring up Becoming all the time.
Yeah. You and Michelle Obama.
Yeah, Michelle Obama, yeah.
But like, no one's going to read 55 hours of the Rise and Fall of the Nazi Party. So like, that makes me seem like, hey, just that's just me saying, hey, just so you know, I've spent 55 hours learning about Germany between 1932 and, or 33 and 45. So.
It's a weird one to select. So I feel like you could probably go maybe something without a Nazi symbol on the cover. But yeah, you know, each their own.
Yeah, it was interesting. My first love, and it's similar to you. I love the sci-fi stuff. I love aliens. The Fermi paradox is something that I find to be pretty interesting. And the Fermi paradox is basically, okay, if there's infinite stars out there with just as many planets, there has to be intelligent life. And then the follow-up to that is, well, if there is intelligent life, why haven't we heard about it yet? So that's the paradox, and I find that to be really interesting, because I personally am of the mindset that, of course, there's intelligent life out there. I think if you don't think so, you're an idiot. Keith, do you think there's intelligent life out there?
I do.
Okay, so then you're not an idiot in my book. Yeah, so, but I don't know why they haven't talked to us. I think they get into it in the later books a little bit more about the Fermi paradox, basically saying, and I'm not spoiling anything, because I think this is a really interesting answer to it, which is that civilizations are consumers of everything. As a civilization grows, it just consumes and consumes and consumes, and eventually there's nothing left. So they have to then go somewhere else or take from somewhere else. So basically, if you let another place know that you exist, you're inviting them to come and just take all your stuff. So if no one knows you're there, it's like living out in the woods during the apocalypse. It's like, well, no one knows I'm here. No one can take my stuff. So there's no reason for me to shout out and tell everyone.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah.
So that's the reason why supposedly no one's reached out. Interesting. But just science stuff in general, I thought aliens, all fun stuff I enjoy. The science did get a little too much for me. I think we've talked about that, though. Anything else you love?
I did like that Wang visits Yawen Sia, and she's like super nice to him and all this stuff, and he's like, man, it's nice to talk to this person. And then she's like, oh, I want to take some, I think it was like ginger or something with you. I forget what it was. Yeah, and she's like, and he's like, know what? Now I'm going to come visit you all the time. I was like, wait, just a free gift is what makes you come back. It wasn't her being nice. It wasn't her giving you all the information. It wasn't her like daughter just died. It was like, you know what? Free gifts? Yeah, I'll be here all the time now. I was like, all right.
Bro, it's that saying. Did you ever watch that show on History Channel or whatever about those Appalachian guys who go out there hunting for ginseng? Go digging for ginseng?
No.
Oh, so it's like a big, ginseng's like a big thing in Eastern medicine.
Oh, okay. So
it's like super valuable. Yeah, it's like super valuable.
So it was. All right. So she's bribing him.
One of the places it grows naturally and is like super coveted by the East is in some middle of nowhere Appalachia. So like people are going around in the wild, like finding these ginseng. If you can find like a big, you know, she was even talking about the book, like, oh, I had this ginseng that was this long or whatever the case is. It's like ginger, you know, it kind of grows like ginger root. So yeah, it can be a big money thing. So if someone's to give you some good sang, then you'd be worth coming back.
You know what? Keep that sang on me. Anyways.
The other thing I loved was the cultural perspective. I thought it was interesting. I feel like everything we read comes from a Western perspective. It was just refreshing and interesting to see something come from a totally different culture that's as different from ours as it can be past the industrial age, like in the technological age. It's completely different side of the world and comes from different customs and everything. So seeing that was interesting. I'm not a very well versed on Chinese history or Mao or Cultural Revolution or pushing everyone back out to the farms, whatever that thing was. So getting a little peek of that and seeing how that would affect people down the line in this story was interesting to me.
The beginning of the book, or based off of Wikipedia, the beginning of the book was supposed to be more of the revolutionary stuff of like how bad that was, but he moved it to more the middle of the book so that it didn't get censored. Apparently.
Oh, China.
It's like, okay, first 20 pages are fine, good to go. And then, like, once they eventually realize that it's in the book, you know,
yeah,
it becomes big.
Yeah.
So I was like, I didn't get why that would matter. I don't know.
Censors, well, that's probably why they had all that boring science stuff right at the beginning, because it's like, censors picked up, they're like, oh my God, I have no idea about any of this stuff. I'm putting this thing like down.
But also by the end of the book, I was like, is everyone in China just a physicist? Because he's just talking to you like, yeah, and everyone knows obviously all these famous people and their theories and all these. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Some little kids are coming up to her in a village being like, explain to me how gravity, yeah. how terminal velocity. It's like, what? Yeah. What? Explain terminal velocity? It's like, explain to me. I'm 37 years old. Like, right. teach me yeah, terminal right. velocity. How does that work? Oh, wind resistance. Oh, okay. That checks out. What about hates?
I already mentioned, I don't know if I like science fiction books. This has kind of proved it. Like, in that last 30 minutes, I thought that lasted like 6 hours. I was like, oh my God, just end for the love of God. Uh-huh. Oh, I also thought the most unrealistic part of the whole book is that prominent people in the civilization were coming together to end the world and end us and bring the aliens here. You're telling me government officials, like celebrities, people that are rich, the people that are the most selfish people in the world are the people that are also trying to end our society? I was like, no chance. That doesn't make any sense. That's why yeah. Fight Club makes so much sense. It's because it's all the people that are, hey, all these people are told that they're going to be special and that, like, you know, they're going to achieve the American dream and see all these successes, and they're middle management, low class people that are stuck in their life and, like, sick of everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So that you'd create a revolution there. You're not creating a revolution of the most selfish, like, fucking egotistical people that, you know, I guess those people would also be like, 450 years from now, let's fucking destroy this planet. But
yeah. In Independence Day, it's not Donnie Trump on top of the tower like, "You aliens come, aliens come yeah. here, aliens." Good point. You know, that's just yeah, not how it yeah. works. It's the strippers. No. They're there. Isn't that what her friend did? Shit, maybe I'm making that up.
They're both strippers, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Excuse me, she was a dancer. Oh, exotic, what do you do, exotic ballet? Dancer. Exotic. Oh, yeah. Good movie. Yeah, so what happened in that last 30 minutes that you didn't like? What was it?
It was just protons and sofas.
No, it was sofons. That's what it was. The last friggin' hour of this book was about sofons. And that's, to sofas. Me, I was like, they kept saying it, and I was like, more like borophil.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was like, I finished the book this morning. I was having a nice, it was real early in the morning, no one out. I took the dog for a walk. I said, I'm going to go finish this book on this walk, have a real peaceful morning. I was just angry. I was just seething yeah, the whole time because they were explaining how sofons worked. And it doesn't make any sense. It's a device they use to explain the numbers and explain why all this stuff isn't happening that people think is happening, why the, you know, the microwave background is flickering is because of sofons. It could have been anything. It really didn't matter, but they have to then go and talk about how it unfolds and covers the whole world and then refolds and it moves faster than light, but it only looks like a proton. It's the size of a proton in three dimension. It can be everywhere at once. I'm like, it's hearing me talk about it now is making me angry. It was just,
it was Project Hail Mary all over again. That's why I was getting flashbacks. I was like, no!
Stop it with it. And it was frustrating to me because they built all these things that happened up, like the numbers and the countdown and all this different stuff, like very Lost-esque. And I didn't really need an explanation. I was just like, okay, cool. Aliens can do some crazy shit with their minds, right. whatever. Like, they could have used anything. But to then spend the last 45 minutes of this book explaining it, but then at the same time it's like, okay, if they can be everywhere and they can decide like what people see and don't see and what people hear and don't hear, and they can hear exactly what's happening because of quantum entanglement, so they're basically like, it's like a cup phone in a treehouse with the wire attached, like they can hear the other side, why would they then let the guys on Earth cut the ship in half and do all that stuff? They didn't have to do that. So the whole sofon thing, I honestly hated. Everything else in this book seemed like, okay, this is fairly plausible. And then that was like, wait, if you can create this proton-sized 11-dimension thing, like wrap it around one of your suns and disintegrate it and then do it again. And now you're in a single solar system with one star. You're fine. Don't leave. At that point, honestly, the first thing I wrote down was that this book, it had me in a special place in my heart, along with the Inheritance Game and the last thing he told me. I was at the bottom.
That angry.
Yeah, I was wow. like that angry. Wow. It was like the bottom of the barrel for every of well, the 100
books. Well, if it ruins
your
morning, I can see that. Yeah. I can see it. But yeah, I feel like they could have just been like, they have an advanced nanotechnology that they were able to send here and manipulate scientists, and that's why they didn't want scientists to like, keep on progressing in the nano field, because that would be something that could defend this.
Yeah,
that's
the thought process of it all makes a lot of sense. Like, oh, they realize how fast we have increased our technological abilities that by the time they get here, we're going to be even more technologically advanced than them, so we can fight them off. So how do they fight against it? It's like, oh, well, they create these friggin' siphons to go in particle accelerators so that stops science. It's like, what? You know, just... Oh, they don't want to. They want to stop nanotechnology because we're going to create a space elevator and go to space and start building stuff. Just give me something else. It really didn't matter. Just have them lead us down a different trail or something.
Yeah.
So it was a bit much. And the only other thing I really hated was, and this might just be because this is translated. It was originally written in Chinese. The translation to English, I'm sure there's a lot of ways that this could be translated, you know, and the guy who translated it said he tried to stick with best as possible, like the cadence and the feeling of the characters and whatnot. I'm sure it was a Herculean effort. So it might be some of that. It might not be. Either way, the characters just didn't seem that interesting to me at all. Like none of the characters, I was like, oh, I'm at bat for this guy or this gal. So
I really like Wang's family. They seemed like good.
A lot of the interactions, the conversations were confusing and didn't do much for it. So, yeah, wasn't a big fan. So you were talking about being interested in watching the Netflix show. This show was recently released by Netflix, I think like a couple of weeks ago. It's like top five in shows right now or something. So it's somewhat of a hit. Who knows, though, because Netflix pushes those things onto people, as they should. You know, they have a right to do that.
Got 79-80.
Okay. Not bad. Because, like, when that Red Notice movie came out, like, Red Notice, number one in movies. That movie was fucking terrible. Yeah, 79-80. I did a little binge today while I was, because it's been pouring rain here, so I was working, and I watched basically up until the end of the book. There's a few more episodes, so it goes into the next book.
Oh, the future ones, yeah.
Yeah, it goes into the next books, which is interesting because I would be interested to see the following books. I don't know if I would definitely wouldn't read them.
The show's good so far?
I will say that the show is the book, but in a much easier to digest manner. And they blend some characters together into other ones. They create new characters, but it all seems to flow pretty well. Considering I just finished reading the book, at no point was I that interested because I knew all of the things that were going to happen. So it is fairly true to the book. So I'd be interested to know what someone thought about it who didn't read the book, but I would suggest in our, would you recommend this book? Just go watch the show. It's pretty much the same thing. There's like better visuals. It's got Sam, isn't that his name, from Game of Thrones, the nerdy one. He's in it, and the acting's good. The characters are good. It's exactly the same story. The three body world makes sense. Oh, I forgot to mention during the three body world that I did enjoy when they created a computer out of the army with like binary.
Yeah, that was pretty... I still don't know how computers work, and I built one, and I was still a little confused by it.
But you put one together, is what you're saying. You put the pieces together.
How fucking dare you?
You're not, like, soldering, you know...
I went in, and I actually built computers?
Yeah, people do that.
No.
Yeah.
People don't even build websites. Everything's just taken from other things now. Everything's building blocks. When I say I built it, I mean I fucking put it together, but I built it.
Well, I did see on Reddit one time, I think it was a kid, but I could be making that up, who built a computer in Minecraft doing this same idea. Just built tons of inputs that are just binary, like on or off. And if you set it up for something, it'll do computer-based problems in Minecraft.
But it's probably pretty basic, right? Like it like could do math maybe, but not.
Yeah, not it wasn't going to give you the answer to the world. But yeah, it would do stuff that I was very amazed by. And like you zoom out because it's, you know, it is these blocks that are either on or off or whatever the case is. And you zoom out and it was like a legit data farm that this person had created. So talk about how we should be using video games to recruit people, like Harvard, Google, whatever, these places, like someone's out there creating computers in Minecraft. Like,
yeah,
they're super impressive. Smart and have too much time on their hands. Go have them create sofons. Yeah, so I would just I'd recommend the show as opposed to the book for this one. And I apologize to the people who recommended this book and said you're gonna love it, because honestly I didn't, and I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not smart enough.
But yeah, I'll say the same thing. I was not a fan. This made me question all science fiction. I don't even know if I want to read another science fiction book again. That's how bad I thought it was.
So. Yeah, well, luckily we don't have to go down that road for a while. We can, you know, get the taste out of our mouth. And I apologize to people that did like this book, because I could see ways that you would like it. It was just not for me. So, like I said, we're not going
to... I also think the Hugo Award winners are not... I'm not a fan, other than Harry Potter and Ender's Game.
Okay, thank you.
All the other ones we've read have not been good. I did not like American Gods.
Yeah, you didn't like American Gods, the N.K. Jemisin one.
Yep, didn't like that. I don't know.
But yeah, we're going to leave the sci-fi space. Keith, what do we got coming up next?
This is a reader recommend or listener recommendation, The Art Thief by Michael Finkel. I believe this is a true story, so we're getting into the nonfiction side. Which is a rare scene for...
Yeah, I wonder how nonfiction it is. Also, when you said we're reading The Art Thief, I was like, oh, great, I love this book. But I was thinking of The Book Thief, which is a children's book. And then I was like, oh, no, it's The Art Thief. And I was like, wait, I have this book on my shelf. It's Caroline's. And I look at the book, and it's The Art Forger. So now I'm just confused. I don't know what's happening. But there is a book called The Art Thief, and we will be reading it next. Okay, so we'll probably catch you... pretty soon, probably. For I don't think it's a very long book.
Short one.
Yeah, so yep. So we'll catch you guys for The Art Thief. Don't get The Book Thief, don't get The Art Forger, get The Art Thief
by Michael Finkel.
Finkel, right. Yeah,
yeah,
Finkel is Einhorn is,
yeah.
Finkel.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, laces out, Keith. All right, Keith, this was fun. Even though we didn't love the book, it's always good to talk to you, so I'll catch you. Indeed. For the next one. All right,
all righty,
bye now.
Bye now.